Good evening and welcome to St. Columba's on this Wednesday in Holy Week for our service. All of you are very welcome and thank you for your faithfulness throughout this week of all weeks as together we walk the way of the cross. We follow the order of service as before you, which will proceed without announcement, followed by refreshments at the west end of the church. And I do hope that you can wait behind for fellowship one with another. It's a very great privilege for us here in St. Columba's to have as our preacher this Holy Week His Grace Archbishop Robin Eames. Throughout this Holy Week, he's been relating and reflecting on the events of that first Holy Week to current issues that we face today in 2019. We think of the world of which we are part. We think of the turmoil within it, and we think of our own individual lives. Issues of concern and doubt and worry, different aspects of our work upon which all of us are engaged. And how can the events of that first Holy Week, the characters within that first Holy Week, and Christ himself as he makes the difficult journey to the cross, how can all of that offer strength and hope to sustain us in our own pilgrimage of faith? Archbishop Eames tonight will be focusing on another aspect of that journey as together we share in our worship. We turn to our service sheet. May the grace, healing, and forgiveness of the Lord be with you this Holy Week.
And also with you.
O Saviour of the world, who by your cross and precious blood has redeemed us, save us and help us, we humbly pray. We gather together this evening to continue our journey with the Lord through this Holy Week of our salvation. The Wednesday in Holy Week sees the gathering gloom of hatred toward our Lord, of deep betrayal in the heart of Judas, and of determination to be rid of the very one who carries our future hope and salvation in his person. When we take our ease rather than watch with you, Lord, have mercy. when we bestow a kiss of peace, yet nurse enmity in our hearts. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
When we strike at those who hurt us, rather than stretch out our hands to bless, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. The Collect for today, Wednesday in Holy Week. Lord God, whose blessed Son, our Saviour, gave his back to the smiters and did not hide his face from shame, give us grace to endure the sufferings of this present time with sure confidence in the glory that should be revealed through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. O God, make speed to save me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those who seek my life be put to shame and confusion. Let them be turned back and disgraced who wish me evil.
You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay.
Let those who mock and deride me turn back because of their shame. But let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say always, Great is the Lord.
You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay.
As for me, I am poor and needy. Come to me quickly, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay.
You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay.
Please be seated for the reading.
A reading from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4-9a. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, I did not turn backwards. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me, who will declare me guilty. All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up.
Save and help us, Lord.
The Gospel reading is Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 to 15. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands before they eat?" He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever speaks evil of father or mother must surely die.' But you say that whoever tells father or mother, 'Whatever support you might have had from me is given to God,' then that person need not honor the father. So, for the sake of your tradition, you make void the word of God. You hypocrites! Isaiah prophesied rightly about you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship, teaching human precepts as doctrines.'" Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Thanks be to God.
May the words of my lips and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be this night and for always acceptable in your holy sight, through Lord, our Saviour and our Master. Amen. Through the evenings of this Holy Week, we have tried to ask some of the questions which, with the experience of our lives, the experience of our faith, and the experience of our worship, has compelled us to ponder at various times in our lives. Tonight, there's no easy answer to this question. For tonight, as we say in the order of service, the clouds of doom, the clouds of darkness, and the clouds of suspicion are gathering. And our Lord is already becoming much less the triumphant victor of Palm Sunday and is beginning to become the accused, the figure of suspicion, and sadly, the figure of doubt. And in the midst of that, with the benefit of hindsight and history, our minds go ahead of those events in the middle of Holy Week, and already the prayer from the cross is taking its significant place. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I wonder, has it ever occurred to you how important a question plays in everyday lives? Not just the questions that haunt us and to which we have no easy answer, about practical things, about ordinary everyday things, but questions of immense importance in our relationship with others, questions about our own belief, and questions which sometimes brook no easy response. I've been reminded of this in a very practical way in my own work across the water in the last few months. For as a member of a commission that was set up to examine a word that you will recognize straight away, referendums, we have searched through the history of how various societies have used a referendum, how people have responded or ignored what a referendum has said to them. In situations of conflict, in situations of community doubt and so on. And the one shining fact that has come to me through all that work has been not the importance of the answer, but the importance of the question. How the question's chosen, how the question's worded, and how it relates to the response of ordinary people. And from that, we are reminded of another simple fact. Often, and it's not just lawyers who know this, often the question can predict the answer. It can produce the answer we want to hear and can provoke in the person's, the listener's mind, a particular response. And that's very true, isn't it, about our own pilgrimage here in Holy Week. For there are so many questions, so many issues for which we have no quick answer. Questions that seem to multiply as we follow our Lord on the walk to Calvary. Those questions tonight are highlighted by the stage that's halfway to Calvary. The denial, the promise of Peter that no matter what the others do, I'll be beside you. My faith is solid and my trust in you is such, I have no intention to waver. Thrice you will deny me. Despite your protests, you will deny your relationship to the Son of God. When Jesus prayed from the center of his agony, Father, forgive, our questions multiply. Who was to be forgiven? For what were they to be forgiven? Easy to identify the characters who in our ordinary thinking were guilty of some aspect of betrayal or failure. And so it's fairly easy in the narrative to say, oh yes, the prayer was to those and for those who were crucifying him, for those who had led him to this dramatic moment. Father, forgive them. They don't know they're destroying the Son of God. Father, forgive them when they have taken, in many cases, the easy way out and haven't really asked themselves the really deep questions. Father, forgive them. They're only human. Father, forgive those who have had a key role in what's happened to me. Father, forgive Pilate because he was just doing his job. He followed the rules. My crime in his eyes fitted into the regulations. And while there was, yes, a certain degree of discretion which he could have used, but declined to use and to give what the crowd wanted, crucify him and release Barabbas. And then there was Peter. As the days passed, he becomes more and more a lonely figure because not only has he denied the promise he made, but he's become isolated. Not physically, because they were those who agreed with him, but isolated spiritually, isolated from the commitment he gave to Christ. And so there must be more to this prayer. There must be something more that we're missing. There must be something more eternal why Jesus prayed for forgiveness for those, not just there and then, but forgiveness that was to be eternal. Pastorally, over the years, just as we thought the other evening of how the unanswered prayer can be a problem for people, so forgiveness can be at times the overwhelming desire of the human heart. Forgiveness for what must seem the unforgivable incident, action, omission, failure, which is part of my life and part of yours. For it's not just the identifiable omission or commission for which we yearn to be forgiven. It's simply to be forgiven in the spiritual sense for the doubt, for the weakness, for the failure, and for the omission, which draws us back constantly to the truth of the cross. How many times I can reflect over the years of being confronted through someone as they have explained their doubt, explained their problem, their worry, and have talked in such human terms of what has seemed to them something that they can never be rid of, constantly stained by its memory, yearning to wipe out the past. And when they have come to lay that emotion alongside what they know is the calling of their faith, the burden becomes even heavier and even more difficult to be reconciled. And so tonight, on our way to Calvary, we think of those words, not just as they were spoken at that point in time of our Lord's pilgrimage, but as they apply to the here and now, to you and me, with all our failure, all our sin, all our weakness. And you know, there's only one response that we can give. It is to say, thank God for forgiveness. Thank God that at the center of our belief, at the center of our faith, and at the center of how we see ourselves in this here and now, it's possible to believe that somewhere along that line is the promise of being forgiven. Because picture it if it wasn't possible. Picture what it would mean if there was no such thing as the assurance from that moment of truth on the cross that there is forgiveness. There is the opportunity to feel somehow we've been forgiven by the God we worship, and that we've been given the other chance. And so, in the context of all those other questions we have asked, we place tonight the simple fact that there will be times our faith is weak. There are times there is the unanswered prayer of last evening. The prayer that has been heard, but the answer to which we cannot really grasp and understand. And the doubt which so often shames us. Is there a God in all of this? Every time I think of these words that we ponder this evening, I remember an incident which will ring a bell for many of you. It's the ward of the hospital in Enniskillen on that never-to-be-forgotten day as we tried, instead of worshipping with the British Legion after the Remembrance Action, we tried to minister to the dying and to the wounded and to the sorrowful. And at one moment, a nurse, whom I got to know in an instant and has been a friend of mine to this day, turned as a stranger to me and said very simply, "Archbishop, where is God in all of this? Where is God in all of this?" In thinking of Christ's prayer, "Father, forgive them," the magnitude of man's failure, man's hatred, man's division, man's omission, leading us to what we will say tomorrow night about love. Tonight we have the reality. Without some degree and sense of forgiveness, we lose the whole point of the teaching, the meaning, and the love of God. Father, forgive me. Father, forgive us, that in our own ordering and orderliness, in our own everyday life and relationship, we deny the denial of Peter, the actions of Pilate, and the fear of the little group who gathered at the bottom of the cross, is here and now in the midst of us at this moment, that what was prayed from the agony of Calvary is there for me to cling to, for you to hold on to. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Thank God for that assurance and for that reality. Let us pray. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Merciful God, as we ponder the words and actions of your blessed Son, our Lord, renew in us our faith. Renew in us the promise. Renew in us the reality of the forgiveness that reaches out to us in every situation. renew in us that in searching for these answers to our questions, we may be honest, have strength, have grace to follow in the truth of Christ. For we ask it through him, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no guile was found on his lips. When he was reviled, he did not revile in turn. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he trusted himself to God, who judges justly. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed, for we were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls.
Let us pray. Let us pray to the Father, who loved the world so much that he sent his only Son to give us life. Simon from Cyrene was forced to carry the cross for your Son. Give us grace to lift heavy loads from those we meet and to stand with those condemned to die. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Your Son watched the soldiers gamble to share his clothes. Transform the hearts of those who make a profit from their victims, and those whose hearts are hardened by their work. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
The thief who was crucified by Jesus was promised a place in your kingdom. Give pardon and hope, healing and peace to all who look death in the face. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
From the cross, Jesus entrusted Mary, his mother, and John, his disciple, to each other's care. Help us also to care for one another and fill our homes with the spirit of your love. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
In Mary and John, your Son created a new family at the cross. Fill our relationships and those of new families today with mutual care and responsibility, and give us a secure hope for the future. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
The centurion was astonished to see your glory in the crucified Messiah. Open the eyes of those who do not know you to see your Son in the meaning of life and death. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Joseph of Arimathea came to take your Son's body away. Give hope and faith to the dying and bereaved, and gentleness to those who minister to them. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Simon and Joseph, Mary and John became a part of your church in Jerusalem. Bring into your church today a varied company of people to walk with Christ in the way of his passion and to find salvation in the victory of his cross. Lord of the church, hear our prayers and make us one in heart and mind to serve you in Christ our Lord. Amen. We say together those words which Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
theirs is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all things come from you, and of your own we give you.
So in the assurance of the forgiveness of God, and for the full meaning of that reassurance, may the peace of God, which passes all earthly understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.